Assalamu alaikum, girls. I hope you're all in the best of health and iman, inshallah. Welcome back to another episode on the eMuslima podcast. I pray everybody's Ramadan is going well, inshallah. Honestly, for me, I'll just do a quick Ramadan reflection. I have been loving Ramadan so much so far this year, alhamdulillah. I've always loved Ramadan, but I don't know why the vibe is kind of different. I think everybody's going through that phase where their heart just is really yearning to be close with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you can feel it. Like, for example, when you go to the masjid, when you're talking to your friends, like, alhamdulillah, me and my friends every single day, we're, you know, sending each other Islamic reminders and videos, and it's just so nice. And I feel like my day is always centered around Islam, and I'm trying to make it as centered as possible around Islam. I'm just trying to build a routine that I can implement after Ramadan, inshallah. And actually, this is what today's podcast is going to be about. Today's podcast, I thought it'd be quite a nice podcast, and that is to plan your own ibadah routine. Now, obviously, this is applicable to not just the month of Ramadan, but obviously outside of Ramadan. But because it is Ramadan, I kind of wanted to make it centered more around the timings in Ramadan. So let's get started with how to plan your own ibadah routine. For me, like, alhamdulillah, I did have a routine before Ramadan, but obviously Ramadan is there to kind of emphasize all of our routines, inshallah. But I do feel like it took me a long time to come up with a set ibadah routine that allows me to stay focused on my ibadah and actually spend time really giving 100% of my efforts into my ibadah and into my worship. And I feel like I have developed kind of a routine where work doesn't get involved, and I actually have a set time where I just tell myself, right, this is the time where I'm gonna really gain knowledge from different resources, inshallah, and I'm really gonna stay connected and focused. And also, that period of time is also like a downtime for me where I can just relax. And honestly, I think it's my whole therapeutic era at this minute, and I absolutely am loving it. And also, it's just really good for my mental health as well, sitting down and it just being me and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and giving myself that kind of relaxing time to unwind, but also gain knowledge and read more and connect more with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So before I started to plan my ibadah routine, and I'm talking about before Ramadan, it was actually really difficult, because I remember every time I came back from work, or to be honest, when I was back at university, there was a time where, like, university would be over for the day or my work would be over, and I'd come back home, and yes, I'd, you know, try my best to pray all of my salah. It's really important that we say we try our best to pray five times a day, and we don't just say yes, we pray five times a day, because we always have to say that we're trying and we're striving, because you never know, there might be a day where you don't actually manage to pray your five times salah. What I was trying to say is, like, yeah, I was praying my five times a day, but I was just, after that, I was just scrolling through my phone. Like, as soon as I prayed my salah, I would just get up and would just start scrolling through my phone, or I'd jump into bed and I would, like, just be, I don't know, like, procrastinating. And honestly, it had a big toll on my mental health, and I think that's because I didn't actually realize how much you procrastinating and you not actually using your energy to do productive things, it can really bother you without realizing. Like, long term, it really does start to affect your mental health, because you start questioning your purpose, you start forgetting your purpose as a Muslim. Like, remember, our purpose as Muslimas is to worship Allah. That is our pure purpose in this dunya, nothing else. And I feel like if we're not being proactive in our worship and our intentions, and we're not actually trying to reach that goal where we're trying to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, honestly, it makes things so difficult. And then you have this whole iman dip where you don't feel like you're doing as much to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you start procrastinating, and of course you start engaging with sin. Like, all of these possibilities, negative possibilities that actually can come and stem from the fact that we are not utilizing our time wisely, and we're not being proactive in our worship when it comes to Allah. So eventually it got to a point where I actually realized that this was not benefiting me whatsoever. My priorities were like the complete wrong way around. And I told myself, I really want to strengthen my deen. I really want to be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I really want to be the type of Muslim where I can feel satisfied with how I've acted in this world and how I've acted in this dunya. And I'm pretty sure all of you girls who are listening, you're also thinking the same. Like, we all get distracted by all of our worldly affairs and these new trends and different, you know, like just different things going on around us that we actually forget our purpose. And to be honest, I don't really resort to social media as much anymore for any kind of advice or anything, because I feel like certain aspects of Islam has been twisted in certain ways, and I just don't feel like I can trust social media. So that's why I kind of like to do my own active research. And through my active research, I actually just went straight to the Quran. Like, foremost, that's the first thing I did. I went straight to the Quran because the Quran speaks nothing but the truth. Literally the truth. Everything that you need to know is your guideline for life. So I thought, you know what? That's the best place to start. And I remember, like, I just was reading the Quran, but I wasn't gaining anything from it in terms of I didn't understand what anything was saying. So that's when I started really taking my time to actually unpick what I was reading, and that's when my spiritual connection and my love increased so much, and my yearning in my heart, that desire in my heart, was being fueled, and I really wanted to use that to kind of get me closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also, alhamdulillah, I have really inspiring friends, like Allah Mubarak, like they are so inspiring, and they're always constantly allowing me to better myself in a healthy way. And I just want that in my life. And alhamdulillah, you know, Allah has blessed me with that and with good friends, Allah Mubarak, who I can trust and who really just motivate me to be the best Muslimah I can be. And just from that, and from all of this inspiration that I'm getting, it really made me realize, right, my actual main focus is to worship Allah. Like, everybody always talks about balancing deen and dunya, and don't get me wrong, I used to be that type of person where I'm like, it's really important to balance deen and dunya, and I actually have a podcast episode to do with how to balance deen and dunya. But now I think I've kind of changed my whole mindset. I don't kind of agree with that concept anymore. I mean, it is important to balance your deen and dunya, but actually, this is how you should, you know, rephrase it. It should be, you have your deen set in place, and then you revolve your dunya around it, because your deen is that setting stone in your life. It is that pillar, that physical pillar in your life that should not move. And then your dunya, you can revolve that around your deen. Because, for example, if you lose that pillar, then your deen is just going to be mumble jumble. Like, it's going to be scattered everywhere. You're not going to have any element of purpose within your daily acts. So it's really important that we are trying to establish our deen foremost and allow that to be the central aspect of our life. And if anything goes wrong, like, you want to get to a point where your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so high that doesn't matter whatever goes wrong or whatever goes right, you resort to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala straight away. And I think that is so important. And this is why, obviously, I'm going to introduce the whole idea of developing your ibadah routine. Because not only will it allow you to bring yourself closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it allows you to stay on top of what you already know, allows you to stay and remain focused and have that consistency when it comes to strengthening your bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I think that is the main key here, is to be consistent. And by implementing an ibadah routine into your daily routine, trust me, it will make such a big difference, because honestly, it has given me so much confidence in myself and allows me to fall back on Allah with so much confidence if anything goes wrong. And it has honestly just strengthened my faith. And I know, speaking to a lot of sisters who have also implemented ibadah routines into their daily routines, they have also experienced the same. So today we are going to be talking about how to plan your own ibadah routine, what should it include, and obviously it's going to be different for everybody. Everybody's on their own journey. And before I start kind of giving my ideas and my thoughts, I just want to let you all know, and obviously quick disclaimer, I am not knowledgeable. Anything, any good that you see from this podcast is all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all praise to the Almighty. Again, all of this, everything that I'm saying is a big reminder to myself foremost before I share this with anybody. And the purpose of my podcast is purely to help those around me. Any knowledge that I gain, I always have that passion of wanting to share it with people, because you never know, something that has benefited somebody so much could also benefit the next person, inshallah. Okay, so let's get started into the next aspect of this podcast, how to build your own ibadah routine. So the first part I'm going to talk about is a general ibadah routine. So before I start involving Ramadan in it, let me just go through the general aspect of the ibadah routine. So obviously we just spoke about the purpose. The purpose is to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to constantly be seeking knowledge and, you know, recollecting your thoughts and recollecting everything that you've been through and associating it only with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the end of the day, no matter what you go through, you're always going to fall back onto your deen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the whole point of your ibadah routine is obviously, like I said, get closer to Allah. So the first thing that I do, my ibadah routine, my perfect time, the perfect time for me to implement my ibadah routine, again, it's going to be different for everybody, but for me, it is in the evenings. I don't know what it is, but the evenings is just like the perfect time for me to unwind. I come back from work and I can really just dedicate that time focusing on my relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and trying to find ways to better my character and find ways to kind of constantly seek knowledge and aspire to be, you know, better than I was the day before. And that's the whole thing. And do you know what the best thing about being Muslim and being a Muslimah is? The fact that we aspire to gain more, not gain more in this dunya, but gain more in our akhirah. That is the mindset that you should have foremost, is that whatever you are seeking more in the akhirah. That is what you want. So obviously you're going to strive for it in the dunya because that's the only way to get there. So I come back home from work and then what I do, I'll pray Maghrib, and after praying Maghrib, I will stay put. Like, I will not get up. I won't do anything else. I remember before my ibadah routine, I would do my Maghrib and I would just get up and I would watch TV or do marking because I'm a teacher. But now I just stay put. So once I finish praying my salah, I will immediately do lots of dua. It's really important that we don't underestimate the power of dua, because dua is a moment where you are speaking confidentially to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's now you and him. It's an alone time and a really intimate time where it's just you speaking your heart out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're speaking words that humans, other humans, wouldn't be able to understand, but your Lord does. Our Rabb knows exactly how we are feeling. Even if we can't speak it, he knows what is in our hearts and he knows exactly what we are feeling and what we desire. Even if we don't know what we actually desire, he knows things that we do not know. Once doing my dua, I read Ayatul Kursi. So Ayatul Kursi is a protection dua and it's a really important dua, and I really highly recommend that everybody reads Ayatul Kursi in the morning and in the evening before going to bed, but also once after every Fard Salah. It's a really important routine. So the one who recites Ayatul Kursi every morning will be in protection and in the safety of Allah until the night. Now, if a person recites Ayatul Kursi once when going out of the home, Almighty Allah has a group of angels to come and protect him or her. And if you recite it twice, then two groups of angels are assigned to do this. There are also many benefits in terms of reading Ayatul Kursi. So not only do we recite Ayatul Kursi for protection, but for pain of death as well. So to keep yourself safe from any death that you may, you know, come by, you need to recite this powerful verse regularly. So reciting it relieves the pain of the death and the facilities of your death. Also another benefit of reading Ayatul Kursi is when leaving the home. So whilst you're reading this verse when you go out, reciting it will keep you under the protection of the angels. The next benefit is before going to bed. So if a person who recites Ayatul Kursi when going to bed, allows them to be under the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you are sleeping. And the one who recites this verse before sleeping, Allah will protect not only him and her, but also his neighbor's home from the devil as well. Again, another benefit is for any kind of fear. So if you are troubled and feel any kind of fear, then read this verse. It will remove all of your difficulties and worries, and inshallah, it will just keep you calm. Another benefit is for acceptance of dua. So, you know, after prayer, it will become a source of acceptance for your prayer. So with this in mind, it's really important that you make a habit of reciting Ayatul Kursi after every prayer. Again, Ayatul Kursi is also equal to the Quran. So whoever reads Ayatul Kursi four times will receive the reward of reading the entire Quran. Another benefit, and again, Ayatul Kursi, there are literally endless benefits for your rizq as well. So if somebody recites Ayatul Kursi upon entering your home, then poverty won't enter that home. Also reading Ayatul Kursi after wudu, it raises a person 70 times in Allah's rank. And also reciting Ayatul Kursi, it is paving the way to Jannah. And one who recites it after obligation salah, and the only thing that is separating you from paradise is death, subhanallah. Another benefit is protection from the devil, and saving yourself from poverty, and for protection of the house. But I think my favorite type of benefit is the fact that reciting Ayatul Kursi whilst leaving your home, you will have the protection of 70,000 angels all the day and night. Subhanallah. It's honestly such a beautiful thing. And when you start looking at the benefits of certain du'as and certain ayahs in the Quran, it only pulls your heart to actually recite it more and more frequently. So again, find a dua book, or find, you know, some sort of supplication that you can make to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on a regular basis, to form part of your ibadah routine. So number one is finding du'as that you resonate with. Number two, after doing my du'as, I do my dhikr. And now dhikr is absolutely like one of the most simplest type of ibadahs that you can do, but it is just so beautiful, and there are so many rewards that come with dhikr. So dhikr is just, well, for me, it is 33 times subhanallah, 33 times alhamdulillah, and 33 times Allahu Akbar, and 33 times or 100 times astaghfirullah. But again, dhikr, you can say anything when it comes to dhikr. You can say it however many times you want. And I do this literally after every salah, because again, dhikr means the remembrance of Allah. So the more you remember Allah, Allah will honestly come closer and closer to you, more than you could have ever imagined. So the benefits of dhikr is that dhikr is greater than anything, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and the remembrance of Allah is greater. Another benefit is that frequent dhikr leads to success. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, remember Allah much that you may be successful. Another benefit is that dhikr protects you from being amongst the losers, and dhikr will also save you from regret. So our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no people leave a gathering in which they did not remember Allah, the Almighty, except that it will be as if they are leaving the carcass of a donkey, and it will be a cause of regret for them. And he also said, the people of paradise will not regret anything except for those moments in which they did not remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is a very big sign and a very big message that our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam delivered to us, saying that people won't regret anything other than not performing any acts of worship where they do not remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, another benefit of dhikr is a protection against shaitan. Our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I command you to remember Allah. Verily, the parable of that is a man who goes forth whilst his enemies are fast upon him, and then he comes to a safe fortress where he protects himself from them. In the same way, a servant will not protect himself against shaitan except by the dhikr of Allah. Dhikr is also the best protection from punishment. Again, our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there is nothing better a person can do to save himself from Allah's punishment than to remember him. So again, if you want to save yourself from the hellfire, if you want to repent from your sins, constantly be in the mindset where you are thinking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also, finally, the reward. And you know what? There are so many endless benefits when it comes to dhikr. I'm only just kind of listing a few. But the other one is the reward of the one who remembers Allah is that Allah remembers him. Isn't that such a privilege? Like, imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just remembering us because we remember him. And think about how mighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, and how little we are and how small we are. We are nothing. You know, compared to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are nothing. So for our Lord, our Rabb, to just think about us, it is honestly such a privilege. That is something that you want. You want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to constantly think of you. And Allah says in the Quran, remember me and I will remember you. And our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah says, I am as my slave thinks of me, and I am with him when he remembers me. If he remembers me within himself, I remember him within myself. And if he remembers me in a gathering, I remember him in a better gathering. And if he draws one span nearer to me, I draw one cubit nearer to him. And if he draws one cubit nearer to me, I draw a distance of two outstretched arms nearer to him. And if he comes to me walking, I go to him running. Wow, subhanAllah. Like, and I actually mentioned this in my previous podcast, like, who else would come running to you if you were to just walk to them? I can't think of anybody in my life who would do that. Not even my mum. Like, if you started walking towards your mum or towards your guardian, you don't expect them to run to you. And the fact that just one turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doesn't matter how fast you're walking, whether that's kind of one step in your walk, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes running to you. That's how much, that's how merciful our Lord is. That's how merciful our Rabb is. Remember, He is Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. He is the most merciful, the most compassionate. So that just being said, and you know what? You always have to remember, right? Our Rabb is not just our Rabb. Of course, our Rabb is our Lord, but think about how Allah describes Himself as being our Lord. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says He is Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. When we say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Allah is literally introducing Himself to us by saying that He is the most merciful, the most compassionate. Our Lord is a merciful Lord. Our Lord is our merciful Lord. And the fact that merciful here is the key word is literally telling us the unlimited mercy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has. And I just think we should never underestimate Allah's mercy. Soon as we turn to Allah in forgiveness, Allah will forgive us. That's one of the promises that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made, that He will forgive us. Okay, so once I've completed my dhikr, I like to read Quran. So obviously, I've said this in like my last few episodes, I started doing Quran journaling. I love doing Quran journaling so much because not only am I getting in my Quran recitation in there, but also I am, you know, studying what the Quran is telling me, the messages that are involved in the Quran and how I can reflect upon them. And as soon as you find an ayah that really resonates with you, I promise it changes your life and it changes your whole perspective on everything, because your heart is, it's coming from your heart now. As soon as you feel connected with the Quran in a way that you are able to reflect upon it, just know that it's your heart that's going to drag you to read Quran more often. Obviously, all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will start guiding your heart in a way that your heart just drags you to reading the Quran more and more because you are becoming so attached to it. So Quran journaling is absolutely amazing, because what I like to do, I have this app called Tartil. So it's Tartel. And not only does it have the Quran on it, but it has the tafsir with it, and also it has this kind of recording section to it where you can record your voice and it picks up any mistakes that you may make in your recitation, and then you can listen back to the correction of a well-known speaker who is reciting the Quran. And it's honestly such a helpful app, so I really do recommend it. And I absolutely love doing Quran journaling on there. So I do a bit of Quran journaling, and again, adding Quran into your everyday life is absolutely fruitful. Like, it is just gonna make you calm down. I don't know what it is with me, but every single time that I feel upset and I just need guidance, like, yes, I make dua, but if I need to physically, you know, see the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I resort to the Quran. I literally resort to the Quran because the Quran is the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I literally feel like reading the Quran being my friend, I can just feel Allah guiding me and giving me guidance through Allah's words. And honestly, that is like the best feeling ever when it comes to you needing reassurance in times of need. And trust me, when I tell you, you do not need to overwhelm yourself by reading pages and pages and pages of Quran every day in order to feel fulfilled. I promise you, start by reading one page a day. If you're somebody that does not read Quran and you read Quran maybe not as much as you'd like to read the Quran, then definitely start off reading the Quran at least once a day, and one page a day, or even just doing maybe 20 ayahs per day. That's what I like to do. I like to read 20 ayahs after every salah that I do, so that way I'm not overwhelming myself. The last thing that you want to do is go through ibadah burnout, which I'll talk about in a moment. And that's just essentially where you overdo everything to the point where you come crash landing and you do no ibadah at all. And that is something that we are trying to refrain from. So remember, you know, Allah loves those who are consistent. So let's be consistent in our ibadah, and don't be so harsh on yourself. It's better to read one page of the Quran where you can fully understand the meaning and where you can fully reflect upon it and make your heart feel so connected with it, than reading 20 pages of Quran and not knowing anything at all. Because the feeling that you're going to get is going to be completely different, and it's not going to be as meaningful. And remember, the whole point of an ibadah routine is to grow your heart closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it gets to a point where if we are just doing acts of worship for the sake of doing it because it's obligatory, we're never going to find Islam in a way where it connects to us, where we start using Islam as an actual guideline of our life. We don't actually end up discovering our purpose as much. Whereas if we start connecting our hearts and finding different methods and different pathways to connect our hearts to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything will change. And trust me, when you take one step closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep guiding you. You know, he's Al-Hadi, he is the guide, and he is Al-Rashid, meaning he is the guide that guides you on to the straight path. So no matter where you are, as you know, as soon as you, because you don't know where your journey is going, but what you can do is try and keep striving for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in whatever acts of worship you do, whether that's big acts or small acts of worship, because Allah will guide you. Allah is aiding you. Allah, you know, metaphorically will have his, he'll be holding your hand throughout your journey, okay? Because he wants to guide you to the right path, because you have made that intention, but also you are trying to strive to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I like to do my Quran journaling on my iPad. My iPad is kind of like this dedicated place, my safe space for all of my ibadah, and like just everything Islam is on there. But again, you can just use a diary. I know there are so many companies out there, you know, alhamdulillah, may Allah be pleased with them, that are bringing out Quran journals. So find yourself a Quran journals. It's only now this year where I've seen lots of small businesses bring out Quran journals. So please, please, please find yourself a Quran journal. If you don't know where to start with Quran journaling, I will be making a separate podcast episode literally just to do with Quran journaling and how to Quran journal in a way that it isn't overwhelming and that you can do it step by step. But the whole point of this ibadah routine and whatever act of worship you do, it is there to kind of bring your heart at least one step closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every single time. So after reading the Quran, I will then read a book. So any Islamic book. So currently, before Ramadan, I was reading Healing the Emptiness by Yasmin Mujahid. And honestly, it is such a lovely book. I absolutely love it. It's just to do with healing from heartbreak and, you know, just healing from the emptiness of this dunya. And it's just a lovely, lovely book. And it allows me to kind of figure out my thoughts. But currently, for the month of Ramadan, I'm reading The 99 Names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I've forgotten what the author is called. Everybody is asking me about the author's name. I will put it up on my Instagram. It will be in my story highlights or something like that. But it is absolutely amazing, because that is one of my goals for Ramadan, is to just get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by getting to know your creator. I think that's the biggest thing, and one of the biggest advice that I can give anybody, and one of the biggest habits that can change your life, is get to know your creator. You know what? Have a moment to reflect. Stop this podcast and have a moment to reflect. How well do you know your Lord? Seriously, like, same big reminder to myself foremost. How well do you know your Lord? I had this conversation with myself the other day where I actually sat down. Like, I was doing all of this ibadah, but I sat down and I actually thought to myself, how well do I know my Lord? How well do I know his attributes? That's when you start looking at the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And trust me, that book is absolutely beautiful, because it helps you understand not only Allah's attributes and his names, but you also understand and find comfort within Allah so much more. Like, all of a sudden, your tawakkul, your levels in tawakkul will just increase. Your levels in having faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases. And once you connect with his names, you start using his names. And it is honestly such a beautiful aspect and a beautiful form of ibadah to really look into. And I really recommend anybody who is really thinking about going through an ibadah routine, and having that ibadah routine is maybe, you know, once a day, or even like maybe twice a week, whatever fits your schedule, ponder over the meaning of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names. Don't just find, you know, the definition. So for example, Al-Hadi means the guide. Don't just stop there. Really understand what it means when we call Allah Al-Hadi? Like, what does his name actually mean? You know, think about it and really reflect upon it. Think about the moments where you can relate to Allah's names, one of Allah's beautiful names, to certain moments in your life. Like, for example, Al-Hadi, meaning the guide. I think about so many endless moments in my life where Allah has guided me. And times like that, honestly, you start to find all your reassurance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So again, that's just an example of the type of ibadah, extra ibadah that you can do. Again, I just wanted to point out the whole aspect of the ibadah routine is obviously having your obligatory acts of worship set in place, but also ibadah routine is doing things to strengthen your knowledge when it comes to Islam and about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's also including all the extra ibadah as well. So that's when I'm talking about ibadah routine, I'm talking about this. Another part that you can add into your ibadah routine is watching videos and listening to podcasts. I love listening to Islamic lectures, especially lectures from Dr. Haifa Yunus. She's absolutely inspiring and I love her voice. Her voice is so therapeutic, Allahumma barik, but her words and the way she speaks about Islam and the way she talks about the women in Islam is so empowering and it's so insightful. And honestly, I just love it so much. So I really do benefit from her lectures as well. Also, Imam Omar Suleiman, he's absolutely amazing. He's currently doing his Jannah series right now, and I haven't really watched it yet, but I'm gonna, start actually watching a couple of his videos with that series. But right now, Dr. Haifa Yunus is like the one for me right now, because she's currently doing a series called Builders of the Nation, and she's talking about all of the amazing women in Islam. And that also leads to my next point. Another part of your ibadah routine, you can actually include a moment where you look for ways to better your character. So like I said, the name 99 Names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually a way of Allah kind of telling us, right, this is me, but you should also represent all of my names through your acts of worship and through how you are and how you carry yourself in this dunya. And I think that's so important, especially as Muslim women. We are trying to find ways to always better ourselves and better our character. So one of the best ways to do this is read books or listen to podcasts or lectures to do with the famous women in Islam, the mothers of Islam, those who founded Islam, the women, the most empowering, inspirational women out there who really they are the role models. And the best way to do that, like I said, so listen to lectures and podcasts and make notes. So if you really want to know how the characters of, Khadija or Aisha, Maryam, how they were like, then write down their attributes and characteristics, the characteristic traits that make them so unique and make them the most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And use that and look at that and start implementing it into your daily routine. Start trying to work on it. There might be a flaw that you have. For example, you want to be aspiring like Aisha radiallahu anha, and you are aspiring to do more for your akhirah. Try and do things, try and do more extra acts of ibadah that can help you get there, for example. Or our beloved, Khadija radiallahu anha, where she has been so supportive of her husband Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Maybe you don't see yourself as being empathetic or supportive, but you can start doing that in your daily acts of goodness. You can start being supportive of your friends and their, start being supportive of your loved ones, just things like that. These little things that can help train you to develop these characteristics that our beloved women of Islam, developed and had, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved them for it. So again, that's a part of ibadah that you can involve in your ibadah routine, trying to better yourself and better your character in order to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, final part. I think this is the final part. Let's see where it goes. But the next part that you can involve into your ibadah routine is joining Quran classes or joining tafsir classes or, hifz classes or fiqh classes. There are so many classes out there online and that are free as well, by the way. Don't try and spend loads and loads of money on different classes, but there are so many free classes out there, online classes, so that you can do it from the comfort of your own home. There are so many classes out there that can help you strive to gain beneficial knowledge, inshallah, and allow you to kind of understand more stories about Islam, or, you know, understand the seerahs of our Prophet and just all of these things. So again, these are just types of ways that you can embed into your ibadah routine that will allow you to strengthen your knowledge on Islam, inshallah. And also tafsir classes, again, unpicking the surahs, unpicking different ayahs in the Quran, really understanding the meaning and trying to relate it to different ayahs in the Quran and trying to relate it to your daily life and understanding the messages that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us. Or perhaps you want to practice your recitation, so join a tajweed class, online classes or group classes. Or perhaps you want to learn Arabic a bit more and really understand how to pronounce and actually understand what the words and the letters mean, so you join Arabic class. There are so many communities and amazing teachers out there that you can just join for free, and honestly, it develops your knowledge even more, inshallah. Also, another thing that you can implement into your ibadah routine, and I always, always mention this, is getting involved in a sisterhood community. So you can also find this online. If you don't have a local masjid near you, try and find some on social media. There are so many WhatsApp group chats of sisters all around the globe, or, you know, in your community where you set up projects, maybe a charity project or maybe a fundraising project, or just anything that brings you guys closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Recently, I actually joined a group chat of a sisterhood in my local community at a university, and they do weekly sister circles every Wednesday, and honestly, it is so impactful. I have been to a couple of them so far and I loved them so much, because again, it's part of your ibadah routine. You are involving yourself, you're involving yourself with, you know, likes of so many like-minded Muslims around there who are also having the intention to strive and work hard to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you start talking to those sisters regarding Islam, it just makes you everything feel so fulfilling, and it also reassures that you're not alone in this journey, but they are also with you as well. And also, again, you're sharing, seeking knowledge from one another. You're allowing each other to develop your love for Islam by, you know, being with each other and helping each other out. And honestly, not only that, but you can make so many friends in that as well. And like I said, having that good company around you, that company that allows you to reach that Jannah goal, is the best company that you will ever have. And you are meeting people for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you are building these relationships with different sisters. And it just makes such a big difference when you are utilizing your time in a way that it is also fun as well, but you are also learning so much from this. And lastly, foremost, and I just wanted to make this clear, obviously you're going to include your salah. So including your salah, that is the obligatory act of worship. So it's really important that you involve yourself with your salah and really connect with Allah. And you know what? I've actually discovered a new tip that really allows you to, well, it has helped me with my focus. It has helped me increase my focus in my salah. So it's really important that in your salah, you know the meaning of what you are reciting. And it's really important. And what helps me kind of not let my brain wander and my mind wander and think about something else, a tip that really helps me to concentrate on my salah is understanding the meaning of what I am saying. And whilst I'm reciting the Arabic in my head, I'm translating it to the English. And you'll see it's actually quite difficult to do that whilst you are reciting in Arabic, and Arabic is not my, you know, first language, and I can't speak it at all anyway. So trying to recite it in Arabic and then in your head at the same time trying to replay it in your own language, so for me in English, it's so difficult, but it keeps your mind focused, because that brain power you're using to kind of relay that message back to yourself in English, all that brain power is there, and that allows your brain not to be diverted elsewhere. It might not be diverted away completely, but it really does stop you from having your mind wandering elsewhere, and it actually increases your concentration in your salah. So that is one big tip. So if you're somebody who finds it really difficult to focus on your salah, and again, it's a big reminder to myself foremost, we all go through times where sometimes our salah may not be pitch perfect, and that's absolutely normal, but we can try and find ways, and again, it's that intention. We can strive to find ways to help us increase our concentration in our salah. But try that advice, try that tip, and I just want to see if it works for anybody else, because I came up with it just randomly on the spot. Not even randomly, like I was just doing it already, and then I realized actually, it allowed me to stay focused on my salah because I was also focused on the meaning and trying to correlate it with the Arabic as well. Alhamdulillah. So again, do try these little methods and see what works best for you. But that is something that worked, you know, massively for me. And this is just something a bit more kind of like miscellaneous, but another thing that you can embed into your ibadah routine is reading Islamic affirmations. So I actually have an Islamic affirmation wall in my bedroom and I absolutely love it because I get, and it's an amazing tip by the way, so you can literally get from Amazon these like clear sticky notes, transparent sticky notes, and you can just get a Sharpie pen or a marker pen, write down any Islamic quote or a quote from the Quran and stick it on the back of your wall, and it looks so aesthetic because it's just transparent sticky notes, but also before you leave your bedroom you can just read those affirmations before you leave and actually just prep your mind to be in that positive manner and be in that positive mindset to allow you to feel positive about your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So yeah, that's actually pretty much it, to be honest. I hope you girls really enjoyed this podcast, and again, you can implement all of those things in the month of Ramadan or even just do it 10 times more. So that's what I'm doing. So I've got my ibadah routine, but I'm trying to do it in a way where I am just doing more of it. And again, remember, ibadah dip is so normal, ibadah burnout. So it gets to a point where you may be doing so much, you know, subhanAllah, you're doing absolutely amazing and you're just going and you're striving and striving. And then it will get to a point where you may overwhelm yourself and burn out, but that's okay because the main thing is, remember, all of the other ibadahs that I've mentioned, they are all extra ibadah apart from obviously doing your Quran and your salah foremost. But you have to remember that even if you have ibadah burnout, you must never ever, and it's a big reminder to myself foremost, you must never ever stop your salah or stop your Quran. Foremost, you should never ever stop your salah. Your salah is obligatory. Even on days where you may not feel your best, you never give up on your salah. And you shouldn't even let that make yourself feel bad if you're not doing extra ibadah. And even my friend told me that, because my friend told me, and you know what, she's such a wise, you know, person, Allahumma barik. She said something on the lines of, you know, the last thing you want is to lose your salah. And that really hit me hard because yes, you may not be doing all the extra stuff, but the reward of your salah is 10 times more than anything else that I've mentioned in this podcast. That is something, that's the first thing that we're going to be asked about on the Day of Judgment. So again, just remember, like, even if you have an ibadah dip, do not lose your salah, because your salah is the thing that will keep you going. And it will be that motivation that will also allow you to help you get back up on your two feet and start, you know, going back into that routine of doing extra ibadah. So again, please do not ever lose your salah. It is a big reminder to myself foremost before I share this with anybody else. Okay, so that is actually the end of the podcast, alhamdulillah. I hope you girls enjoyed this podcast and everything that I've said. And I really pray that, you know, it helps some of you like it helped me. Again, we're all different, so please do share your ibadah routines with me and what you include and what time you do your ibadah routines. I know some sisters do it before they go to work or before they go to university or college or school. They kind of just do it all in the morning, but also they do it kind of consistent throughout the day. So having that ibadah routine does not mean that you don't do any other acts of ibadah throughout the different times of the day. Still do that, but, you know, allocate that set time where you do nothing but devote your time to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But I hope you guys enjoyed this podcast, and I'll see you in the next episode, inshallah. Take care and assalamu alaikum.